Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Jeanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel, and we're progressing our way through these churches. We last week stopped with the church in Thyatira, and we said that this church was the great counterfeit church, okay? And here, just to give a background, we were looking at the fact that as far as looking at the city, it said as a city, Thyatira was the least important of the seven addressed. It was its main industry was dyeing cloth. We said that. And so when Christ comes to this church, he gives a description of himself, and he says he describes himself as having eyes like a flame of fire. And this depicts his piercing appraisal of their hearts. It's a search which expose impure motives or motivation in their worship of him. Jesus' feet of bronze symbolized the judgment that was going to fall on this church if it didn't shape up. So this is the good thing about it. Christ said judgment must first begin in the house of God. This is what the scripture says in 1 Peter. Judgment begins first in the house of God. He has to judge the church first because the church has the name that they represent Christ. We are supposed to be representatives of Jesus Christ. We cannot take that name in vain. Okay? We can't. We are ambassadors, and if we're ambassadors, we have to represent his kingdom well. So he's here purging or purifying the church of its falsities and its pretense. And like I said, all of this applied to the local church in Thyatira, and it also applies to the churches as of today, and it applies to us individually, okay?
Amen.
So here we see that Christ is ready with piercing eyes to give his appraisal of their hearts. Always remember, doesn't matter what we do, God is always looking at the motives of our hearts. The word searches deep things. It goes down deep. It's so deep, it brings to surface stuff we didn't even know was there. We think, oh, I'm doing good, okay, everything's fine. But there are some deep things of the heart that we think we're okay, but God has to reveal that even good things, good works, good desires, if they're prompted and promoted by our own flesh, our own efforts, the goodness of a man, the natural man, they're in God's eyes, it's a sin. It's unholy. We have to be renewed. See, when we come to Christ, he delivers us from sin, but then we have to be renewed in our mind, in our thinking. He has to get us, everything about us, our thoughts, our upbringing, our perspectives, our opinions, our mindset, all of that. And this is where most Christians get stuck. We get saved, go to church, get to work, and never address the wrong perceptions, the wrong views, the wrong mind. We get to work doing things for God, and just like the church in Ephesus, we're not devoted to him. We're not devoted to him working in us to transform us so that we can have the mind of Christ. So the Holy Spirit at generation, when we can see this thing, how God comes in and the mechanics behind how he works, it'll make things much clearer in our spiritual walk. So when he comes in, actually, at the fall, you got to understand that what was corrupted was that the spirit man of Adam and Eve, it was in a state of perfectness. It wasn't good. It wasn't evil. But they were at the point, based upon who they would obey, determine whether they become righteous or unrighteous. See, this was a trial. This was a test. And it was critical that they made the right decision. God puts in us a will, and we are free moral agents. God will not force his will. Anytime there's a force thing upon you or upon your will, it is of Satan. It comes from the outside. Okay? If he can force the believer to do what he desires, he controls you. So now you're enforcing Satan's will. This is why it's important that we freely, that's why he said, whosoever will, let him come. God doesn't want robots.
Mm-hmm.
See? He doesn't want robots. He doesn't want automatons. He wants us to love him and do it of a free heart and mind. So In that garden, when Adam and Eve obeyed Satan, their soulish man, self-seeking, took control. And their spirit man, see, the only way God communicates to us is through our human spirit. You got to understand it. He only communicates through our human spirit. Then from there, our spirit has to, our mind has to comprehend what the spirit of God has placed into our human spirit. See what I'm saying? So it's not that we just sit back and pray and God just going to magically do. No, God is working with us. We have to co-labor with God. He's not going to come in and make you and I do stuff. We have to use our mind to research out what the Spirit has put in our spirit. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So here is God, the Holy Spirit. He's telling them, Christ walking in the midst of this church, and he's telling them what needs to change. And so let's start at verse 18 in Revelation chapter 2.
And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira. Write these things, saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charities, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols.
Okay. Now, notice here in verses 18 through 19, he said, I know your works and your charity. This is the commendation. This is what he's commending them for. I know your works, your charity, and your service, and faith, and your patience, and your works, and the last to be more than the first. What is he talking about? Works. He mentions it twice, right? It says in the notes, some in this church, as wrong as it was, continue to love the Lord. The Lord knew who they were. So here it says works are mentioned twice, with the last being in a negative sense, meaning they were depending on this instead of Christ and the cross. So they put works over faith in the cross. See how easy and subtle we can shift our focus away from what is important, the cross, the simplicity that's in Calvary. Because if we keep our focus there, the Spirit of God will direct us. Remember I said he speaks to our human spirit. And the spirit, we have to be renewed in mind, body, soul, and spirit. We have to be renewed. So God saves us from sin, but at the same time, he has to renew us in the spirit of our mind and our thinking. So all this stuff has to be transformed. So here, they focus more on works instead of looking to Christ and him crucified. So they deviated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Christ, here he's starting to do the rebuke. And here it is in verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffer. See, when we shift our focus away from Christ solely, now here comes the deception. See, it's very critical, because as Christians, if we divert our attention, it gives Satan an avenue. It gives the enemy. He uses deception to force his will. God uses truth to set us free.
Amen.
You see this? To make us free. Satan uses deception to force his will. He wants to make us puppets to do the will of the God of this world system. See, those folks that's in Hollywood and those folks that promote an agenda that's contrary to the way of God, they're puppets. They get paid the big bucks. Most of these politicians and stuff, they get paid the big bucks, but guess what? Their life is miserable. Why? Because they're promoting something that's anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-freedom. This is what they do. So God is looking for individuals that will be willing to submit to his way. He's not going to take the works of the flesh and our own natural ability and our strength. He's looking for a vessel that's willing to work with him, to be a co-laborer, where I'm willing to take my mind and let you teach me, Lord. Give me some knowledge. See, we can't just sit back and say, well, I'm just going to wait on God. No, God has to. If he puts something in our spirit, the mind is used to search it out, to figure out, to see what it is, what the will of God is. The intellect is used for the purposes of serving God. So, but what Satan wants is for us to become passive, to let him use us and not think for ourselves and make and just be a blank slate. Why? So he can enforce his will. So what happened here with this church? They, because they took their focus away from the cross, he says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you because you suffer that woman, Jezebel. So what he had against them was the fact that what? They allowed an occulted prophetess to ensnare some of the immature believers in the church.
Amen.
See that? They allowed Jezebel, even though they did, God, Christ commended them for their works, their charity, their service, their faith, and their patience. These were a few that continued to serve and work and love him. But putting the focus on works, they allowed this woman, and again, we said it's not, they're not talking about just the woman per se, physical, but it's the spirit of Jezebel. And we read in 1 Kings 18 how the spirit of Jezebel, when we looked and we saw that she came in and attached herself to King Ahab. She was a worshiper of Baal. She was a worshiper of the Nimrod, Semiramis, and they child Tammuz and all that sun god, whatever. She worshiped all that stuff. And when she married the king, he wasn't even supposed to marry her. But it was all a political thing that the two nations joined, and he took her as his wife. And she came in because he had no spiritual backbone. He was in a position, but he was not used of God. See this? He was in the nation of Israel. This was when they split. But God was not in the midst because he would not listen to God or do the will of God. So he allowed Jezebel to bring in her occultic practice of Baal worship. He allowed her to kill God's prophets and destroy the altars. And they went to the high places and built altars and groves and worshiped what? Baal, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did the people do? There was no uproar. There was no outraged, they flowed with Jezebel and King Ahab. See that? These were the political leaders of that nation, and the people had abandoned God. So what did Elijah do? Y'all help me out. He called them to where? He was going to have a spiritual showdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he called all the people and told King Ahab to bring the people to where? Mount Carmel, right?
Yeah.
So they gathered together to Mount Carmel, and this was a trial. See, Elijah was put in the church. The church was on trial. And most of the prophets, we read in the previous scriptures in 1 Kings, I think it was 17 and 18, where the prophets were hidden. Obadiah took some of the prophets and hid them, right? And even though they had not bowed the knee, this woman was still ruling in Israel at that time.
Amen.
So Christ says in 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you suffer or allow that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. To commit fornication or spiritual adultery means they left Christ, see, the worship of Christ, God's way. Remember, they tore down the altars. And they started worshiping Baal, and they brought in Baal prophets and priests. This was in the midst of God's people.
Was this the same story? Hello, everyone. Was this the same story that about the fire?
Say that again.
He told them to put the sacrifice. Was this the same story? He told them to put the sacrifice on the altar, and whichever God burn up the sacrifice, then, you know, that's the true God? Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so we saw last week that Elijah's God showed up. Baal God didn't show up. Elijah mocked him and said, "Where's your God? Is he asleep? Is he on a journey?
Amen.
Does he need to be awakened?" So it proved that Baal, the worship of Baal, there was no power in it. There was their God was powerless. And they allowed a powerless woman to come in who worshiped Baal to teach and seduce God's people and cause them to be led astray and away from Christ into the worship of a God, little g, that had no power.
Amen.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
And today the same spirit is at work. This is why I say it's very critical, because the spirit that run nations, the spirit that you have may have political heads and people running nations, but what do they support? Are they against the things of God, the values of God? And this is where we as Christians have to make sure that we're in line. Don't let adultery, spiritual adultery and fornication can come in and pull. We can stand up and say we serve God, but when it's time to stand against Jezebel, we have no power and strength, so we cave. You see this? And we bow to the Jezebel coming in and making laws and making rules and tearing down what's of God. This is why the nation, you look at the nation today, what's of God, Ten Commandments, they want to tear it out. They want to take prayer out. They want, but where's the church? And so on that mountain, what did Elijah say? He said, "How long will you halt between two opinions?" He was talking to the church of that day, the Israelites. How long? He said, if God be God, what? Serve him. If Baal, then serve him. So he made a display. He proved to them, and this was for the people. God showed up and showed out when Elijah rebuilt the altar. We have to go back to the cross.
Amen.
You see, churches, if you've embraced the spirit of Jezebel and you brought in idolatry and you've caused these teachings or allowed these teachings to seduce your people and pull them away from their affection to Christ, there's a way. There's an answer. Rebuild the altar of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Preach the cross. And when we lift Christ up, he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw. See that? I'll draw all men. See, Christ, God does the drawing. We just got to do the lifting. We got to preach the right message. We got to go back and put our faith in the right message. And then we got to walk and live by it. And when we do that, what happened? There were some prophets. Elijah thought he was the only one, but he said, I have prophets who have not bowed their knee. And we read here, he said, there were some there who had not bowed. We're going to get a little further because I don't want to hold us up. So let's keep going. Verse 21, Sister Cher.
And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not.
So it says the church did not heed the message and, in fact, continues in their salvation by works. This is the Catholic system. See? This was a system. So God, if you look at it, God is very patient. He's trying. He reaches out to everyone. It doesn't matter the denomination you're under. It could be a wrong denomination. Jezebel can be running it and ruling it. But there are some there whose heart. That's why I said we can't just judge and say everybody that's a part of some denomination is just wrong. No. Christ saw some folks in there that did not bow. They could have been in that ministry because that's what their parents brought them up in. Y'all see what I'm saying? They could have been there because, you know, they got saved and they sincerely, that's the culture or whatever their upbringing was, but their hearts. Y'all know we've been there in denominations and you just there because you looking for God, but some of this stuff won't right and you knew it and the Spirit led you out of it. See what I'm saying?
Amen.
So God is very patient. He said, I gave her space to repent. Now, remember in 1 Corinthians 11, it said that those that partook of the Lord's Supper unworthily, because they didn't focus, have their faith and focus in the cross, he said some were sick, some were weak, and many slept or died prematurely. Why? Because they partook unworthily. There are some people that say they're in Christ or embrace the message of the cross, but they're not doing it for the right reason. They're saying it, but they're not applying it to the heart. They're not grasping or understanding how the cross is applied in their heart and lives. So what Christ is saying here, he gave her space to repent, but she wanted to continue in her fornication. See this? That spirit that was in that church, those folks wanted to continue. Same way with the Pharisees. He was giving them opportunity to repent, and some, a couple did. A couple was it Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. Y'all see, a couple of them repented. So he said, it says in verse 22, keep going, Sister Cherry.
Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds.
So the bed, it says in the notes, refers to false teachers who taught salvation by works, which was spiritual adultery. So again, there was a warning to repent. God tries to deal with everybody, all these people in these denominations, in these churches. He tries to deal with them. And when we see suddenly that they removed or they didn't, he, guess what happens? If they don't repent, he said, I will cast her into a bed and them who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. You see that?
Amen.
So this is why it's important. Our salvation is personal. I don't care if we're in with a group or at a denomination, with a church or with a group of people. If you're just following the crowd because everybody else is following the crowd, your salvation is personal. God speaks to us individually in the midst of all of us gathering. And if we don't take heed to what he's saying and repent of the fornication, he says he cast them into a bed. So they're committing adultery, and they're not going to progress. They're going into great tribulation. See this? Some will be left to go into the great tribulation, except what? They repent.
Mm-hmm.
And look what he says in verse 23.
And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the realms and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your words.
So notice here, it's talking about spiritual death. It's not necessarily talking about a physical death, but it's talking about spiritual, which will lead to physical death. And he says he will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins in the heart. This is continued. So just because God delivered me today of something and I get insight and I turn from it, I have to be ever watchful, forever examining myself to make sure I'm in the faith on a day-to-day basis. Because I can be like these folks in this church, continuing in works and religious activities, and refuse to repent from a wrong direction, a false teaching, lifting up of idolatry, a heathenistic worship, and I can think that I'm okay. You see this? So it says, just as Jezebel had led the Old Testament Israelites into idolatrous religious rites and debased sexuality, this heathen prophetess induced the people at Thyatira to mix idolatry and sexual impurity with their Christianity. Now understand this, Balaam was outside the Hebrew church. He attacked them from outside. Remember, he was watching them from a mountain, and he tried to curse them, right? It says, loyalty to Christ demanded that these teachers should have opposed and not tolerated Jezebel. So Balaam attacked from outside. Jezebel was within. See this? This is why we have to be forever watchful. Because there was an attack outwardly and an attack inwardly. Satan will try to move our faith and our focus away from Christ. And this is why we have to daily seek him, daily put our trust in him, no matter what goes on around us. Okay? So it says here, one can look at the works of an individual and ascertain exactly where their faith is. It's true. True works proclaim the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not talking about this external stuff. See, it's not based upon just working, doing things like they were doing, their works. They promoted the works. But if my faith is right and I'm being transformed and changed from the inside out and my love for Christ is growing, that love will spill over to the brethren. I will love my enemies. I will do good to those that despitefully use me. See, this is a work that God has to forever put in us and create in us and grow us. Now, notice what he says to this remnant that had not bowed to Jezebel. Let's keep going.
But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden.
Okay. It says, the most severe and unusual warning given to any of the churches is given to Thyatira. Interestingly, instead of destroying or removing the prophetess, Christ casts her into a bed so that those who lack genuine love for God will confirm their infidelity by consorting with this spiritual harlot. See, a lot of times God allows some things to happen just to show where our loyalty is. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
You will see in the midst of when you see confusions and church splits and all these things that's happening in the body. You know, we all go to church together and we all think everybody's on the same accord and we all loving the Lord and love his scriptures. But when those things happen, just like Jezebel there, and God allowed her to go into her sick bed or whatever, it shows where people's loyalty is. You see what I'm saying? And so we can sometimes get caught up in the circumstance. Oh, they did this to me. They did that. But God uses the circumstances to do the separation.
Amen.
See, we have to be separated from those that just want a title, want a position, want to be seen, want to be heard. You see what I'm saying? There's a group of people in the midst of all this idolatry or what have you and false doctrine who truly, truly love God. And we won't know, or you can't ascertain that until you see the trials, the conflicts rise to surface, and it reveals who's following the word and who just wants religion.
Amen.
Y'all see that? So what am I saying? I'm saying that when we look to the cross, God will open your eyes to see the hearts. The same way he searches and see the reins in the heart and the motives, you and I, as we grow in him and look to him, he makes us free so we can see and ascertain the truth, the reality of what's going on spiritually. Because in the beginning, we're all in the flesh. It's a natural, it seems natural to us. But as we walk by the Spirit, we start learning how to see, oh, God, oh, I'm glad God revealed that and showed me what Jezebel was doing. Because sometimes, that's why he said, let the tares and the wheat grow together. I'll do the separating. Remember the tares and the wheat? God sowed the wheat, but then while men slept, it said the enemy came in and sowed tares. And when they came back, they saw the wheat grown, but also the tares were attached. And it was like, should we pull it up? He said, no, lest you hurt the wheat. See what I'm saying? This is God doing the separation here. He does it. I don't have to go in there. I'll make a mess. But we make a mess. We go in, oh, girl, we're going to expose them. We're going to get them.
But speaking, it seems that at time whenever, you know, he bring us out, bringing you out, we can't feel it. It hurts.
Right.
It feels bad to us. We don't know what's going on, but he knows. And then as time go on, he let us see why he did what he did.
Right. Mm-hmm. There you go. And so remember, we're being changed. See, this is the experience that you and I have to walk out, because we can be a little carnal and look at things from a fleshly and emotional perspective. But God allows, see, in his wisdom, he knows what it takes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes mm-hmm. looking at things on the surface, it looked bad, you know, going through the loss of something, the separation of friendship or loved ones or whatever. But God sees a bigger thing behind
yes.
it.
Yes.
Amen.
And so if we divert our attention away from the problem and the issues and the people and the circumstances and look to him, we start learning. This is walking mm-hmm. by the Spirit, being led by. So your experiences actually help to grow us up and get us to see beyond the natural and see the reality of what God is doing. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it says, Christ casts her into a bed so that those who lack genuine love for God will confirm their infidelity by consorting with this spiritual harlot. Those who commit adultery with the harlot will be brought into great tribulation unless they repent and evidence true faith in the Lord. So he also warns that her offspring will be killed. Those who mix occultism in any way with the teachings of the Bible and Christianity will perish. So this includes all users, and it just goes into all kind of stuff that people get into. So it says, the Lord declares that all the churches will realize through his treatment of the harlot and her followers that he examines the motives behind religious practices. Many religious people don't desire a personal relationship with the true God. That would place too many demands on their selfish plans. They merely want religion to boost their ego from time to time as they perform their good deeds. See this?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to come a time where God will separate and he will reveal. See, a lot of people just in religion, they're not in relationship with God. They don't have personal relationship, but they can wear a title and a position or do works or what have you that's proven here and be out of relationship and out of step with God. So now he turns to the sincere seekers in the midst of this idolatry and immorality with some marvelous promises. And first he assures them that no other burdens will be added. He said no other burdens will be added to them. And what he told them to do and to stop doing was all he intended to lay on them, since they were already laboring with heavy responsibilities. So, in other words, we have to continue to hold zealously to our faith until he returns. It doesn't matter what they're doing in the midst of us. It doesn't matter that the world is chaotic and going in a direction that's wrong. We got to do what? Continue to follow him in his way.
Amen.
Continue to look to the cross. Don't walk by what you see. See, the biggest problem with us, and Satan knows this, Satan knows that if he can get the believer to turn their attention to what they're seeing, what they're experiencing, how they're being treated, if we divert our attention to that instead of walking, see, we have to learn how to walk by faith even when the world goes astray. Stand up, because guess what? Elijah stood in the midst of Jezebel and all that false doctrine or whatever she was doing, all that occultic stuff. He stood up to represent who? Jehovah God.
Oh God.
And God showed out. See? Elijah just had to build an altar and do things according to the word of God.
Right.
When he did that, God showed up. He didn't have to do all that crying that the Baal prophet
nope.
did and all that cutting themselves. And you see what I'm saying? If we positionally get ourselves right, faith in the cross, God will show up in the midst of this corruption that we're dealing with. See, this is all this stuff that's going on, and we see God is trying to get the church to take a stand, to step up, and not to bow to the threats of Jezebel. Because we saw in 1 Kings what happened after Elijah performed that, stood up there, and God revealed himself through the altar being rebuilt. And the prophets of Baal were destroyed. Jezebel came with a threat, right?
Right.
She came with a threat, and what happened? Let's go back over there. We're gonna finish this out right quick. I mean, let me see how much time I got. Yeah, we're good on time. 1 Kings 18. Might have been 19. 1 Kings 19. So after that great perform, after God showed up, showed out, and revealed to the people that he was indeed God, he was King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jezebel don't quit. Satan does not stop. I don't care how victorious we are in life and what obstacles we overcome. We can't stop exhibiting faith. We got to submit to God, resist the devil. The only way I can resist him is by submitting to God's way daily.
Yes.
He says, whom we are to resist by being what? Steadfast in the faith.
Yes.
See? So here we see Elijah. Elijah, Jezebel's words start getting to him. And 1 Kings 19, verse 1.
And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and whether how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as thy life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Bathsheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there.
All right, so the note says here, and we read it last week, it says, after that great victory, Satan often attacks with great success. So be very careful when God moves and gives a victory. Don't let your guards down. So it says, in this, we must remember that the faith of yesterday, see, this is why we grow from faith to faith, from glory to glory. What I had, that's why I can't just rely on my testimony from yesterday and 5 years ago. And I need grace. Those are things are good, and I build on that. But it's going to take more grace. You see this? The grace that I had yesterday is not enough to get me through what we're facing today.
Amen.
So we have to keep growing. If I'm not growing and I'm just, oh, yeah, way back when God did this and that, and I don't have a fresh revelation and a fresh testimony and a fresh encounter and experience with God whereby I'm seeing the fullness of his glory and understanding in my mind and my thinking and allowing him to tear down thoughts and processes that's contrary. If I'm not going through this process and I'm still stuck in a same old mindset and the same old way, you won't have the grace to stand the attacks of Satan today.
Amen.
How do you think the Hebrew boys were able to stand up to the king and say, I'm not going to bow to your image? How do you think that Daniel was able to stand up to his accusers and to the king and say, throw me in the lion's den? See what I'm saying? It wasn't that they had a relationship and it was a day to day. David was able to stand to Goliath because he seen God work with the lion and the bear while he watched the sheep. Okay? So it says, in this we must remember that the faith of yesterday does not suffice for the need of today. The child of God must ever have a continued deposit of the touch of God, even on a daily basis. So if Jezebel was so sure of her position, then why did she send soldiers to kill Elijah? This is why no matter what the taunts and the threats and the laws that people make and they try to pressure you, see, always remember, Satan is going to try to force you and I to do his what he wants.
Amen.
God gently reveals to us and let us make the decision to choose to serve him and do what he requires. So when there's a pressure, just like Jezebel from without here, she's given a threat, right? It says, a child of God must ever have a continued deposit of the touch of God even on a daily basis. If Jezebel was so sure of her position, why did she not send soldiers to kill Elijah instead of a messenger with the threat? She did not do so because she feared for the life of the soldiers, because he just killed 450 prophets of her prophets. So it says, as the fear of Elijah was totally unfounded, this is why you and I cannot walk in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? power. You need power to defeat Jezebel and her threats. You need power to defeat the spirit of this world system. Whatever the spirit of this world system that comes against your convictions and your freedoms and your liberties, you and I are not to bow. I don't care what laws they create. If it's contrary to the word and the will of God and your convictions, you're not to bow. Because if we bow, how would the world see God show up? How? Remember, we have the name, just like Elijah had the name. He built the altar. He stood on God's word. He was standing alone. And had he not stood up, God would not reveal to those folks that he was God. You see what I'm saying? So here, her threats, it's so easy. It doesn't matter who we are. We can do great things in God and become victorious and have great revelation. It says, as the fear of Elijah was totally unfounded, so is the fear of every other child of God unfounded. This is why we must let God conquer our fears. We must conquer. Let me put it this way. We must conquer our fear. God conquered fear. He conquered fear, death, hell, and the grave. Now I got to align myself to let him conquer that in and through me.
Yeah.
You see? We cannot let fear rule us. Because if you let fear rule you, now Jezebel has a voice in your heart and life, and you can't overcome. So what does it say in verse 3, Sister Cherry?
And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there.
Oh, Lord, Elijah, he prayed, Lord, open my servant's eyes. Now, I laugh because we do the same thing. You let something come over us and it incite fear in us, we gone. Lead children all, we gone. So, he says, the mighty prophet is now operating from a position of fear. Fear always leads one away from the will of God. This is what Satan wants. He's trying to push us as believers away from God and his way. So remember, he's working from the outside in. Fear is incited by from the outside, from an outside source, something we see, something we're dealing with, fear. See, so if I understand that Christ conquered fear, death, hell, and the grave, if my life is not valuable, I love him to the death, meaning that, Lord, if I live, I'll declare your works, but if I die, I'll be in your glory. See, Satan can't hold nothing over you. He can't hold that over you. He can't hold death over you.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? Lord, you said I had to perform all that which you want me to do while I'm here on earth. Satan can't take me out until it's done. So his threats, I can't be shaken. You see what I'm trying to say? So now Elijah, it says, faith always leads one toward the will of God, but fear is now in control. As well, fear always seeks isolation. So he left his servant in Beersheba. Keep going, Sister.
But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.
Here we go. See, self-pity is of the devil. And all in any time we go, oh, poor me, blue despair, they don't, nobody want to hear me, nobody deals with me. Oh, that's of the devil. Because why? Self is on the throne of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
You see this? It's just me. Lord, just take me. Let me. I have a friend. Every time I laugh when something go on in this world and all this stuff, and they come out with these mandates and all this and that. She always say, "I'm ready for the rapture." And every time she said, "I'm just ready to go." God wants us here. He said, "I pray not that you take them out of the world." What did he say? I pray that you keep them safe from the evil one. See, God doesn't want to take us out. Why? He wants to use us. You see how mightily he used Elijah to it was 850 prophets. Remember, it was 400 before, but the 450 showed up on the Mount Carmel. God wanted to put himself, see, if we don't, God won't. If we don't move and do what God, see, it's not that he can't. He just won't use us if we don't, we're not willing. See what I'm saying?
Amen.
We're the body of Christ in the earth. He's using the body of Christ to accomplish his will. Not that he can't, but if we don't, he won't. In our circle, in our life, with our family, see, God won't use us to accomplish his will. He'll use somebody else, but he tells them here, Elijah says, take me. He went under that tree. I think it's the same tree that Jonah went under. Wasn't it the juniper tree? And he requested for himself that he might what?
Die.
Take me, Lord. See, some of us think we better if I can just get to heaven, get away from all these concerns and these worries. And no, God wants somebody that's willing to stand up in the midst of it. Stand up to these threats that the enemy bring our way. See, God wants a body that's there to represent him. The church is what hinders evil in the earth. If there is no church to stand, evil rules.
Amen.
He says, he tells the Lord, it's enough. Lord, it's enough. This is too much for me to bear. When the word says, I won't put no more on you than you're able to what?
Bear.
See that? Because remember, if I'm willing to decrease, his power and energy of his might and spirit is increasing in me. So it's not my energy, it's not my power, it's not my might, but it's the power in the might of the spirit. But if I'm not willing, remember, God is we have to be co-laborers. God's not just going to zoom, zap, do everything. No, I got to get myself up. David encouraged himself in the Lord. I got to engage my mind to seek to know what it is you want me to do, Lord. Should I recover all? And the Lord simply responded to his spirit, recover all. See, we got to be in such relationship with the Lord that we walk in step with him, not me dictating to him what I want. Lord, it's enough. Now, oh, Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. See that? He just by faith overcame 450 prophets of Baal, and now he's fearful of one woman. See, today there's all kind of threats coming from Satan. And I say, bring it. Because guess what? It's not me that he's coming after per se. It's the God or the Spirit of God developing in me and causing me to rise up. See, the threats come because Satan is fearful. He knows the power that's in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You see this?
Amen.
And too many of us in the midst of God got answers for sickness, problems. And sometimes we just, Lord, just take me. And guess what God will do? He will grant Elijah his request. He sets up a replacement. But when I just, Lord, I don't want to fight no more. So he had just overcome the 450 prophets of Baal, and now he's fearful of one woman. See, too often we believe his lies instead of the truth of the word. Let me tell you, Satan is spitting out lies through the TV, through the radio, through the shows we watch, and he's put all this stuff in our heads, and we think, oh, we just, this COVID is just going to take me. No, there are answers. There are solutions. Now, if we just cower and let what we see cause us to walk in fear, yes. See what I'm saying? But if we stand up by the power and the might of his spirit and we trust God through some things, God can conquer, he can overcome, and he can teach us in the midst of what we go through. Y'all understand? We cannot let the voice of, and I say Goliath, and Goliath can be anything. It can be sickness. It can be cancer. It can be COVID. It can be whatever it is. Now, she made a threat on his life. And she could take his life. Whatever these things outside of us, when it makes a threat on our lives, it can take our lives. But it's based upon how you see your God in the midst of it. You see what I'm saying? It's based upon how big you make the problem or how big you make God. And if God so wills certain things and I submit and subject to what his will is, God is victorious. So it becomes a win-win whether I'm here or whether I'm there in his presence. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I should never cower in fear, regardless of whatever happens in life. I should never cower in fear and let fear dictate how I live for God. Keep going, sister, verse 5.
And as he lay and slept under the Jupiter tree, behold, them an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again.
Okay, and that's angel, not right. This is Jerry, for the sake of time. You can read this. You can finish reading this to see what happened. But the point he's making here with Elijah, God provides for him even in the midst of what he's going through. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
And the point he's trying to make is the burden is on the Lord. If we trust in him, it doesn't matter what, if there's a drought, it doesn't matter if there's a threat. If we put our trust in him, God leads us to the provisions.
Amen.
He leads us to what we need. See what I'm saying? God revealed to you the truth about what's happening in this world system. So even though you hear the voice of Jezebel through, I'm telling you, the TV is the main false prophet of misinformation. Because if you don't have knowledge, you will walk in deception. So this is why Satan wants to use disinformation. He wants to keep us misinformed because God said, my people perish. Why? For lack of knowledge. If you don't understand what's happening by the Spirit of God, he said the children of Issachar had understanding of the time so that they could tell the Israelite what they ought to do. What does that mean? It meant that God gave revelation to the reality of what they were facing in their time frame. The sons of Issachar was given that so that the children of Israel could make right decisions about what to do. They didn't listen to the voices. Remember when the 12 spies went in?
Mm-hmm.
And 10 came back with some truth, but they also came back with their own perception and perspective and their own belief, and it persuaded millions. 2 came back with the eyes looking at things from the eyes of the Spirit. They saw, yeah, there was giants, but they said, but we can, with the Lord, we can overtake them. The people listened to the voices of the majority. What am I saying? That same Spirit is here today. And this is why I said, be careful how you hear, because if you hear with the wrong spirit or the voice of the wrong spirit, you will make decisions that you don't have to make. And this is why we have to hear and understand the times. Get a revelation of what's happening in the spirit realm, behind the scenes. God will reveal to you and I, and you'll know what to do.
Amen.
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 So let me see how much time we got. Let me see. Let's go back to, so here you can finish reading this out and you'll see how the Lord passed over Elijah and you know, Elijah thought he was in the earthquake and found out he was in a still, small voice. So God is dealing with the prophet Elijah in the rest of the scripture, and you see how he is going to bring a replacement, which is Elisha. He's going to bring a replacement, which will be Jehu, I think another king. And these folks are going to come in, and they're going to destroy Jezebel. They're going to finish the work that God set Elijah out to do. So when we feel like we get weary in the faith, God's plan go on, but he just won't use you and I if we give up. So let's go back to Revelation 2. I want to finish up this church, and then we'll, any questions before we go move forward? So he said in verse, where we stopped, Sister Jerry, it was
25.
Verse 25. Okay. So he puts no other burden on them. He said, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, talking about the teaching of Jezebel, which was spiritual adultery, which was a departure from the cross. So their only burden here, he said, I will put none other burden on you. Their only burden was the opposing of Jezebel's teaching, which was a tremendous responsibility within itself. So we are to oppose anything that's outside of faith in Christ and him crucified. Most people will sit there, if a false teacher come into their church and preach a wrong doctrine, they'll sit right there and entertain it. If a doctrine is not based upon Christ and him crucified, we'll sit there under it and not even feel the least bit convicted by its teaching. See, he said, no, you oppose it. Am I saying that you got to go and try to change that that pastor's ministry or whatever? If they're not willing to hear the doctrine or understand that the doctrine is false or whatever, you leave. You should not subject yourself to false teaching because it keeps you under spiritual adultery, committing adultery, moving away from Christ. You can't change. You can't sit there and say, "Oh, I'm going to change." Nope, they're not going to change it.
No, amen.
And you're not strong enough to change a group of people that whose mind is set on doing that with the doctrines of Jezebel. You understand? Mm-hmm. Keep going, Sister Cherry, and we're going to finish this up.
But that which ye have already hold fast till I come.
So he says, hold to the cross and don't allow your faith to be moved to other things. Until he come means the rapture of the church. So we are to occupy and hold fast to the message of the cross until he comes. Don't stop. Keep going.
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations.
Now you see this. Remember before I said that if we, now notice there are conditions. There are conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read these notes. It says, but now Jesus turns to the sincere seekers in the midst of idolatry and immorality. And he said, he first assures them that no other burden will be added to them but to continue in opposing Jezebel, right? And he reminds them to hold zealously to their faith until he returns. This indicates prophetically that a remnant of this particular kind of church will continue on earth until the rapture. The believing remnant of this church is also promised that it will be a co-ruler with Christ over the kingdom that will be established for 1,000 years on the earth. So this is why depending on your stance in the earth and what you stood against, and what you stood for will determine whether you be a co-ruler in the kingdom that will rule on the earth during the millennial reign with Christ as the head. Remember I told y'all that we will, depending upon our works, God will look at and say, I required you to do this, that, and you were supposed to be in this and that. Let's see. And he will check to see if we met his standards or not. If not, I'll make it into heaven, but I won't be a co-ruler because, remember, he's going to govern this whole earth. It's going to start in Jerusalem, and the Bible tells us that it starts like a stone, but then it grows bigger and spread all throughout the nation. So what will happen? We'll continue to evangelize until the whole nation is given the opportunity to accept this ruling king over in Jerusalem who sits on the throne. And believe it or not, you're going to have folks that's still going to reject him, even though he's on the earth. But they have no other choice but to submit to his laws, to his rules. Y'all see how things are now? People just lawlessness is ruling and reigning, and people do what they want and not break the law and da da da. Well, during the time of Christ, they're going to have to submit to his law, whether they want to or not. And we are going to all of this. Earth has to be governed by people. And if depending upon how faithful we were here and now will determine what we'll do then. This is why it's important. If we're growing, this is why he said, and this is eternal life, to know the true and living God. Eternal life is not just I got saved, my name is in, I'm going to heaven. No, it begins the day you got saved, and we're supposed to know, to grow, and come into the knowledge and understanding of who he is. There's so much that we have to grow in that we rarely scratch the surface. We get stuck, and we never go beyond. Okay, I go to church, Sunday, religious programs, activities, do the same routine, but we never come to know the extent of who Christ is in our personal lives so that we can be used now. So he says, he who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end. See that? Mm-hmm. It is his works. Now remember, it's not our works. A lot of people are stuck on what they're doing. We think that our works is his works. It's not. We have to keep his works, and his works can only be known. He said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know, come to know through experience, the truth. So only the truth you know will make you free enough to do the works, his works. Pure and simple, it is what Jesus did at the cross on our behalf. To him will I give power over the nations. See that? Mm-hmm. So we're to help rule. It's talking about the kingdom age. And he shall rule them with what? Sister Cherry 27.
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father.
So it says this refers to the fact that the saints of God in the coming kingdom age under Christ will rule the nations, not allowing evil to prevail or even to take root. See, we see all this corrupt government, corrupt all throughout the nations. They think they're ruling, they're reigning, and they're getting away with stuff. But there's going to come a day. They're not getting away with it. There's coming a day when Christ will rule and we will rule with him. And he's going to break them. See that? It says, in the day of his coming, we shall share in his power and glory of victory. Last two, and then we'll close this chair.
And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches.
It says, the morning star is the bright planet Venus, which is the most beautiful and leads on the morning, the harbinger of the day. This says the coming kingdom age will be glorious beyond compare. So he who has an ear, spiritually, has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Remember, the Spirit speaks to our human spirit. If my human spirit is in the position where it can hear, because some saints got their soulish spirit, soulish man that's controlling them. The flesh is controlling, so everybody can't hear. So it says the Spirit is saying that to leave Christ in the cross is to commit spiritual adultery, which will result in spiritual death. The reason why those folks stayed in the under Jezebel's teaching, they had no spiritual ear to hear. There was no loyalty to Christ. And on that note, I'm going to close. And next week, we'll pick up with the church in Sardis. So y'all can go ahead and read chapter 3. We're getting there. The church in Sardis. And so we read that next week, and then we'll be ready to discuss it. But we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We pray we've said some things that will strengthen your walk. And those on the line, if you'll hold on, we'll take questions and comments. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.